Welcome back to Money in America with Randall Turner. Today, my special guest is Phil Scherer. He's a doctor in economics, and we've got some tough questions for him today. How are you, Phil?
I am great, thank you.
Now, I guess the questions are, three weeks ago, when the Federal Reserve under Ben Bernanke announced the big quantitative easing, I guess the first thing is, what the heck does quantitative easing mean to you and me and everybody else?
Well, quantitative easing, which is actually, they're actually referring to this as QE2, because they're basically going to buy bonds, increase reserves, so that the financial institutions, et cetera, can put more money into the economy. Now, what it means to you is that if the economy is going to expand, it's going to require not only that more reserves be created by the Fed, but also that financial institutions are willing to lend and that businesses, et cetera, are willing to borrow. So it requires some cooperation to make this work.
Do you see this cooperation happening?
It's not lack of cooperation in the sense that we won't go there. The problem is, do they have a sense that the economy is going to expand enough, businesses that is, so that they can make a profit if they invest? And so the issue of cooperation is really built up around what the image or the expectations of the economy is going to be over the next couple of years, months, 4 months, year, whatever.
Well, I get really confused, to be honest with you, because I read so much in the Wall Street Journal and other publications, and some economists are saying this is a disaster waiting to happen, and other economists say that this is just the most wonderful thing, and the economy is going to continue to boom. Where's the truth? I don't understand.
Remember what Truman said about that.
No, what?
What Truman said, if you laid all the economists end to end around the world, they wouldn't reach a conclusion. So there are loads of opinions that are out there. The issue, I guess, is going to be one group will present one idea and another, but when we look back a year later, you say, oh, that's the way it happened. But the opinion of the Fed is that the interest rate is so low, the rate of inflation is so low, that there is a gap or an opportunity to increase the money supply without threatening the economy with inflation, and that should inflation start to occur, they could pull money back out of the economy. So what they're trying to do is put money into the economy. Now, there's another part of that which I don't see anybody discussing.
Which is?
Well, when the mortgage market collapsed and people couldn't follow through on the money or pay the money that they owed, effectively debt was destroyed. And when that happens, money supply decreases. So to a certain extent, the Fed is putting money back in where money is being destroyed by this by all this financial problems that various groups are having. So I think that the Fed is saying, all right, we're replacing the money. The risk of inflation is very low. In fact, I was just looking at this a second ago. In October, the rate of inflation was 1.2%, the lowest it's been in a long time. And over the last 3 months, it really hasn't changed any at all for all practical purposes. The core inflation rate, which is even lower than that, it's 0.6%. And so the Fed says this gives us a lot of opportunity to put money into the economy and basically give an incentive for businesses with low interest rates to invest. Now, the other side of that,
go ahead.
If businesses feel that the chance of a profit is minimal, they still won't invest. So then you say, what is the mood of the economy? Is it one of expansion or contraction? How do people feel? What's the next year going to hold out?
And how does one discern this?
Well, it's each person, each business will have to make its own judgment on that. The growth rate this quarter, the third quarter, was 2.5%, better than anticipated. And so with that and with the what looks like more expenditures being made for the Christmas season right now, some people can come out there and say, hey, I know this, maybe we're at the crest and this thing is going to start taking off. We need to make our investments now. So that's what Bernanke is hoping on.
Now, I've read the similar figures on the inflation being so low or not, but I read that, and then I go to the grocery store, and my eye teeth fall out. I don't understand the disconnect there. You know?
You're absolutely correct. And the same thing as the gas station, too.
Yes.
And you make a very good point, by the way. When you talk about the inflation rate, you have housing in there, you have gasoline, you have food, you have medical care. And as housing costs are falling, which is an important component of the rate of inflation.
So you think that outweighs the other?
It's outweighing some of the others. So while it's going down, the prices of food is going up. And which has always been an argument about, we talk about what is the rate of inflation. It's said to be the general rise in the price level. So while some things are going up, some things are going down. Now, for us, if you're not buying a house, then you're looking at clothing, food, gas, automobiles, and things like that.
Okay, so that would make more sense then, because the inflation in other places, I mean, look at the price of gold, the price of silver, you know, you could list them forever. They just keep skyrocketing.
Yeah, the price of gold, I'm not in that one.
Well, I just got done reading a report this morning saying that they think the price of gold is going to kind of slow down the rise, but the price of silver, they think, will go up.
That's right. Some people think that the commodity to get into, and I'm not an investment advisor, I wouldn't give that, but some people think the place to get into is silver and not gold. I mean, gold's pretty high right now.
Okay,
maybe it's its own bubble.
And it could well be. But let's go back to the quantitative easing, though. At what point does all this quantitative easing, the pumping of more money into the economy, become a detrimental thing?
And it becomes detrimental when, there's two, three ways to look at that. Just in a sense, if it's suddenly you see inflation rising, instead of being 1.1, 1.2, goes up to 2.4, 3.2, 4.0, say, hey, we got to pull money out. And which Bernanke says he can do. He says, I can get that money out of there quickly if I have to.
But don't you usually see the inflation like several months after it happened?
Well, in terms of the pressures, that is one of the risks you have inflation. It kind of has its own life. We watched that back in the 80s. It started going up there, and they're trying to, until Volcker got in there, we couldn't get any control over the thing. But I think that Bernanke has better sense on this. He will be looking at that closely. He said, I think it's starting to go up. We're going to pull out the money early.
Okay. Well, let's keep going to the theme here, let's quantitative easing. But, what I read here, again, reading the Wall Street, it's my favorite source. It was expected the bond prices would rise, interest rates would fall when the Federal Reserve started purchasing bonds en masse, and yet the bond market did almost the opposite of that.
Well, and I think the reason for that is that they're buying, other people basically selling. And so what you say, you got two different components in that. In the short run, you might be able to countermand what the Fed's trying to do, but if they're going to spend that $600 billion, they're going to have their way on this, and the traditional relationships are going to come through.
Okay, I'll take your word at it. I just want to see. You know, I wish I had the crystal ball. Because
don't we all? that's also true. You know, you look back, and this is true about economists too. Everyone, when they say hindsight, it's just 2020 or something like that.
Right.
there definitely is a desire to say, well, what is good? What is going to be in the future? Because if it were, then we'd all make the right decisions. But now I'm going to go back to something else that Carnegie said. And someone said, define a recession. And he said, it's a great time to make money. and so because prices were down, and he said, when prices are down, and so this is the time to make your investments. And so he did. He made some tremendous investments in the business sense of investments. I have to step back here a second. When we talk about investments, people say, well, how's your investments doing? We individuals don't invest. We actually buy earning assets. Businesses invest because they're the ones that are creating the growth and productive capacity and employment. So businesses invest. In that sense, and that's what Carnegie was talking about, it's a great time to make money.
Okay, I see. Well, I've read where more millionaires have been made during recessions and even depressions than during times that were good.
And then for exactly the reason I just said. It's a great time to buy. If you have the vision, then you can buy low and
right.
sell high. But it's absolutely a great time to make money. And let's think of this. If you had the guts, you could invest it at Ford 2 years ago at about $2 a share. You could have bought your share. That's before you use the word invest. You could have bought that asset
yes.
at $2 a share.
I did that.
You made great money.
I did that very thing, but I bailed too early. I sold it about 7.5.
it's
14 now.
but think of that. Some people did that and say, I'm going to put $10,000 into Ford. Had they done that, that increased that $10,000 to $70,000. Most people won't do that.
No, it's scary, and it takes a fair amount of guts, and, I've guessed wrong myself in the past on these things, and I paid the price for it.
And that's the other side of that. I mean, some people win, and some people lose, but you do have to think of this in terms of businesses are people with a particular vision, and they invest, and they're going to go, but you have to give the businesses, the small businesses, the larger, whatever, you have to give them a reason to invest, and think that there would be a potential for profit.
Okay, so I don't know how to phrase this correctly, but maybe you can help me out. Where does the intersection between fiscal and monetary policy really come together? Where does it
comes together everywhere. In fact, if you were studying economics, some people argue, while in many universities they study macroeconomics first, because it's interesting to micro second, it should actually be reverse order, micro first, macro second. Whatever. Okay. Where do they intersect? When the governmental policies are such that, this is the fiscal policy, taxing, et cetera, and business say, we're going to get rewarded for what we do, then they will take that low interest rate and invest. So when the Fed increases the money supply, the interest rate drops, business will invest if the investment demand function, which talks about the perspective of profit making, will be such that, hey, I'm going to invest money now. This is the time to go. And that's the intersection of the two.
Okay. Well, Dr. Scherer, unfortunately, I think we're out of time here. This has been Dr. Philip Scherer, and this is Money in America. Remember, you can always find out more information on our website, www.moneyinamerica.biz.
Thank you.